Great to have you with us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at consumer scams and fraud issues today with our two guests, Sandy Chalmers, Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and Michelle Reinen, who directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Great to have both of them here, and thank you for listening in. Question or comment, have you ever had a problem with your credit card, somebody stealing the numbers? Have you ever had issues with your phone or other things? I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Sandy, always great. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Larry. Nice to be here.
And Michelle Reinen, thank you so much for being with us as well.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let's talk about credit cards first. What's the first thing to know about protecting your credit card and your debit card information? Sandy, you want to take that?
Well, Noodles & Company, which is a restaurant chain with locations throughout Wisconsin, just reported a data breach. And what they think happened was that there was some kind of malicious software on their point-of-sale system that read data off the magnetic strip on the back of the credit card.
Oh, boy.
So they believe the criminals or whoever is behind this has the customer's credit card number, the three-digit code, and expiration date. So that's a reminder to us all. If you have the option of using a chip-enabled credit card, do that instead of swiping your card. And I know I've caught myself just out of habit swiping the credit card rather than inserting it so it can read the chip. The chip-enabled credit cards are not theft-proof by any means, but they certainly are more secure than the magnetic strip cards. So something that we recommend that everyone do is consider placing a security freeze on your credit report. And that's a really good layer of protection that's available to everybody. It costs $10 to place that. But in return, you'll be notified if somebody tries to use a stolen data to open up a new credit, a line of credit in your name. So you do that by contacting the three major credit reporting bureaus. If you're interested in reading more about this, go to our website at datcp.wi.gov.
So that's a really good thing to do. Not all companies have, I know I go to places sometimes and I go to push the card in and they say, well, no, we don't have that yet.
Yeah, yeah. And we're still in the transition of switching over to the chip readers. But if you do have the option, use the chip rather than swiping the magnetic strip.
Yeah. How common are large breaches like this one?
Well, unfortunately, they've become very prevalent. Noodles & Company has 37-some locations in the state. It's not on the scale of a Home Depot or Target where millions of people are involved, but it's something to watch for and do whatever you can to protect yourself.
Talking consumer protection issues and lots of callers online. Let's go to Patricia in Madison first here. Patricia, hi. Thank you for calling.
Aloha, Larry. Last October, I had eaten at a local restaurant here in Madison and handed my credit card to the waitress for my bill. And the following day, later in the afternoon, I received a call that fraudulent charges were being put on my card. And first they told me it was a Walgreens that the charges were going against. And this was later in the day. And that night I thought, well, gee, is it the Walgreens down here near where I live? So the next morning I called the credit card company, and they said, no, it was in Houston, Texas. And they said, do you want to know the other charges? And one of them that went through was a $6,500 charge to Saks Fifth Avenue in Houston, Texas.
Oh.
And they said, do you have your card? I says, I have one card, and it's right in my hand here. So I don't know, but this was before I had a chip in it. I was just recently issued a card with a chip in it. But I will never again hand my card over to a wait staff. I will, if I'm going to use it, I will take it right up to the cash register.
Thanks a lot for calling, Patricia. And, well, by the way, did the card company take care of it for you?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Yeah. They've been pretty good about that, Michelle.
Yeah, the credit card company fraud departments have really ramped up in the last few years because they want to get to the bottom of this as well, and make sure that consumers aren't being charged wrongfully and that they know what's happening with their cards. So it's a, you know, Patricia has a good practice in place to keep her eyes on her card and not let it out of her hands. It's not to say that it was the person in the middle. It still could have been their credit card system that caused this. This issue for her, and then the scammers, you know, collect all this data, put them on white cards or fake looking credit cards, sell them, and they're all over the country. So it's a really good idea to be in communication with your credit card company when you travel, so they know where you're going to be, to establish patterns of usage. Some people we've talked on the show before have said, this is where I use my card. Anything outside of this should be kind of a flag for the credit card company, a usage zone. Some card companies do that. But otherwise, putting those notification alerts on your credit card, in addition to the security freeze, will ping you when there's usage, and then you can get on top of it and be communicating as well.
Yeah. Patricia, thanks again. I appreciate your call. Bob in Eau Claire has something for us as well. Let's go to Bob. Thanks, Bob, for calling.
Yes. Good morning, Larry and guests. It's been our experience, and we've done quite a bit of traveling, literally, from coast to coast this year. With the exception of Target, there are few other chains that are using chip readers yet. For whatever reason, the credit card companies came out with this chip technology, but either the chip readers are so expensive that businesses can't afford them, or they are reluctant to convert over to them. I have no idea what is delaying this transition, but you know, we want to use our chip reader, and I was surprised yesterday. I used it in a local business in Eau Claire here that amazed me, because under normal circumstances, I'll ask, does your chip reader rate work? And they said, not yet, not yet. I mean, that's all we ever hear. So, you know, even for people who want to use the chip reader, it's still not widespread event yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Companies are changing. I don't know what it costs. I know there's cost involved for them, but
there is a large investment, and I think you'll see in larger areas they're converting faster. Credit card companies are working on the MasterCard Visa level, the speed of which the chip readers work, because initially with the rollout, they were very slow transactions,
right.
So you had complaints there. But the larger areas are going faster, and if they don't use the technology, there are some liabilities back on the company if there is then a breach, because this was put in place, and there was a delayed rollout initially so companies could get it put in place. But I know there's more than Target. I've seen it at Walmart when I traveled to Boston. Almost everyone used it there, very large metropolitan areas that way.
Okay.
So.
Thanks, Bob, for calling. I appreciate it. Sherry in Whitewater, we turn to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I went to lunch yesterday, and my credit card was declined, you know, which is horrible. You feel like a criminal.
Yeah.
And I used a different card, and it was fine. When I got home, I called the credit card company, and they directed me right to the fraud department. And this woman did security questions and stuff, and then took quite a while to secure my account, and then took my phone number so she could call me back to make sure she was really talking to the right person, because she said a merchant that I had been to had been compromised. And so they reissued new cards and stuff like that. But she was gravely serious about this. And then I talked to my daughter a couple hours later, and she said, I bet it's when you took me to Noodles.
Oh, sure.
She had seen it on the news. I had never heard anything about it.
Oh, sure. So that may be an experience that other people are going to be sharing as well with Jerry, I would guess. I would bet.
Yeah, that's interesting. We don't know what's going on in the background as they investigate this, but it sounds like the company has communicated information to the financial institutions, so they're aware to be looking for potential fraud. All this is happening in the background before you, as a customer, have been notified that you have been caught up in this. But it just goes to show you how proactive these financial institutions are.
And I would bet that a lot of people who were at Noodles are going to wind up with new cards, just like Cherry did. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, they could. The financial institutions weigh and balance that. They do the monitoring to see, because when the Target breach did occur, they didn't replace everyone's card. They did monitoring of things and then made determinations. And if, you know, consumers, it's a really important to be monitoring your accounts. If you have a debit card, be sure you're changing your PIN on that. If you're not getting a card replacement, talk to your financial institution that issued that debit card to make sure that at least the PIN number is different if they're not swapping out your card.
Thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Talking about credit cards, but also about other kinds of consumer scams that are out there. 1-800-642-1234. Give a call or email us at talk@WPR.org. Or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. Mike from Green Bay emailed to ask, are the specific items purchased recorded when a transaction is made? And if so, is the information available to third parties? So if I go to, I don't know, Dick's and buy a basketball or something, is that information, well, I shouldn't use, if I go to a store.
Sure. Everyone is going to be different. It depends on the software and the programming that they have in place at that location. Some, you lose your receipt, you can go scan your credit card and your last purchases will come up. So they have that stored that way. Others cleanse their system right away and don't, and you need your receipt or you're never going to have the option of a return. So I think that's, if it's of a concern for you, an important question to ask before you make your transaction.
Talking consumer protection issues with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. Malik Anderson, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. At 1 o'clock today on the Kathleen Dunn Show, she will talk about whether gender quotas really work and women's political leadership. That's at 1. Right now, taking a look at consumer protection issues. And Tom and Bruce up next with a question. Hi, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Hi. The credit freeze, it costs $10 per person. So for me, my wife, and my two kids, which they recommend doing that for children too, is $80 to freeze it and another $80 to thaw it. There's a lot of states where they made that free. Why isn't Wisconsin doing that?
Sandy?
It's a matter of state law, and this is a law that was passed maybe 10 years ago or so. It's been almost 10 years. Wisconsin was one of the first states to enact a law, so we were at the forefront, and the law says that the credit bureaus may charge up to $10 to do this. I have heard of efforts to change that, to remove the fee altogether and basically prohibit the credit bureaus from charging a fee. If you are the victim of identity theft, it is free. The law does provide for that.
Okay. There you go. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We have, you know, I was mentioning, talking to you before the show about my telephone and all of the phone calls I get from people trying to sell me stuff or ads or whatever. And I'm on the no-call list, but why, and people are have asked me this, well, why do I keep getting these calls? And I said, my response is, I think it's because they have random digit dialing and they just go ahead and dial whoever. Is that about it, Sandy?
Yeah. The problem here is that most of these calls that people are receiving are coming from overseas or across the border from Canada. And they don't, they're fraudulent. And they don't care if they're breaking state and federal law by making a call. It's interesting, Larry. We had some success at the federal level with the credit card services calls. This is Rachel from Credit Card Services, yeah. And they'll offer to lower your credit card interest rates for a fee. The FTC has charged a number of affiliated businesses with violating federal law with respect to illegal telemarketing. And they estimate that these companies stole, basically, $15.6 million since 2013. So, quite honestly, it's very profitable for these crooks to continue to telemarket people and offer fraudulent services. The only way we'll ever get them to stop is to stop responding to them.
Yeah.
Because
I
as
never
long
respond.
As, yeah, good for you.
Well, I get one from Palo Alto. last week, Palo Alto, California called 5 days in a row right during the radio show.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, if they don't know I'm on the air, I don't pick any of those up, but I answer them. But boy, Kyle in Wausau, thanks a lot for calling. What's on your mind?
Not much. Just actually doing some deliveries in the Madison area.
Okay.
I'll make this as simple as possible because it's kind of long-winded, and it's definitely a smaller scale. About 15 to 18 years ago, I was working at a retail store that everybody's very familiar with, and every listener that is listening now has been there and used their card app. And simplicity of what I'm talking about is, if you ever notice somebody observing your card, what they're doing is they're gaining the last four digits. Now, the software that we used, or the point-of-sale service system, you know, however many cards you numbers you have on your card, the last four is all you'd have to memorize, and then you could have somebody's, you know, every digit on their card. Now, the point of that is I could have memorized hundreds or thousands of people's cards and just printed out a reprint after they left. Now, if somebody was going to be deviant, like I said, on a small scale, later, let's say I'm going to sound like Superior and I want to order 30 pieces at the hotel, they're not going to, a lot of these places that a criminal could, you know, buy a pizza from is not going to ask them for the last $3. They ask for the card and get through the transaction. So it's really easy to use somebody else's card.
That was about 18 years ago, Kyle says. Has that, I'm not sure how they get it, the whole number from the last four digits, because the last four digits are aren't they the same for a lot of people or not?
You know, I don't know what goes into the card number and selection. I know that each portion of the card signifies different things, but going back to the chip cards, that new technology will prevent much of that. And I think what Kyle's referring to is that, sure, there are individuals in stores that could be insider espionage type situations. And that is one of the ways that breaches occur, technology, hackers, and going to that. And the best way to secure yourself from a data breach is what Sandy talked about earlier, a security freeze and putting that in place to protect certain types of personally identifiable information, communicating with your credit card company and making sure that you're putting fraud alert and notifications on that way, and paying attention to where you use your card and how you're handing out your information.
Yeah. Thanks again, Kyle, for calling. I appreciate it. Let's turn to Ellen next in La Crosse. Ellen, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I got a bill in about a few months ago from a large healthcare provider in Milwaukee for a single visit for my husband at a clinic. That wasn't us, and we had never made that visit, and the charge was minimal, but it was a single visit at a clinic in Milwaukee, and that wasn't us. The name was correct, and address of our current address was correct. It was an old phone number that we had had but has since been discontinued. The information was correct. The clinic, we disputed the charge, and they waived the charge, but we were really concerned and weren't sure how they got that information and how that bill could have come to us with all of that correct information on it. They weren't able to give us any answers. But how does something like that happen? We since looked at my husband's credit report, and it's all fine, and there were no fraudulent charges, and nothing was incorrect. But it bothered us that somehow that information was in their system, and no one in our family has ever used that system for health care.
Interesting. Michelle Reinen?
Well, a couple of things come to mind. There have been some healthcare providers in the location she's talking about that have changed billing systems recently in the last few years and had some billing problems as a result that we've received complaints about and worked with the companies to make sure all customers are being taken care of and that they're doing monitoring. So database transition changes. Then there's the bigger picture, medical identity theft, and that's a real thing that happens, and someone getting your information and going in and trying to obtain services in your name under your insurance information. And that can be very scary because they can end up changing your medical records. So it's really important when you see a bill and for a service that you didn't receive that you are following up on it, checking to see if there was just a billing error or if someone's been in using services in your name. You want to pay attention to your explanation of benefit statements that you get from your insurance company. Verify you had an appointment on the date that it said, because you don't always get a bill depending upon your insurance coverage. So two things could be happening here. Since they took care of it and everything, I would go with the billing mistake and the transition of systems here. But you can always request to see your charts as well if you want to follow up. That is a process, but you can request to see your charts.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, y'all, and appreciate it. Val from Viroqua emailed to say she's been receiving emails from unknown sources that claim she owes them money. The email also includes an invoice. What should she do with this email? Click delete?
Yeah, that sounds like a good strategy. If you know that this is something that you didn't purchase, chances are it's a fraudulent pitch to try to get you to send money.
Or even to respond, and if you shouldn't even respond, should you, to that?
Yeah, what we continually advise people is not to click on attachments or links in emails, especially when it's from somebody you don't know, because that usually downloads some kind of malicious software onto your computer or device. So there could be a lot of things going on here, and it could be trouble.
Yeah,
for Val.
Oh, boy. You can call in, too, with your questions, comments, or concerns at 1-800-642-1234. Go ahead and email us at talk@WPR.org, or, again, post on our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. Well, we've got Chris in Abbotsford up next with a question. So let's go there. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I got a question. This will relate back to the, there's a data breach at a major insurance company, and myself and my two sons were put on basically a monitoring plan through a company. And, you know, we get monthly emails saying everything's good, all clear for all three of us. And then last month I got, or just a couple days ago, I got an email from my son that there's some activity, and he's a minor. So I called them back, and they're to get the process rolling. It sounds like minors are locked down pretty hard in the credit bureaus. But they want me to send, you know, birth certificate, social security card, you know, my driver's license and proof of address. But, and then they'll get this going with the credit bureau. But I didn't know if that's something that maybe I should go directly to the credit bureau for. I don't want to send all this info to a third party.
Yeah, I can understand your concerns. What do you think, Michelle?
Yes, go directly to the credit reporting agency rather than using the email information. It sounds like you signed up for this service as a result of a breach, and so that seems very reliable, but you always want to question an email you get that's asking for all this information. So go directly to them, confirm that you received this email and they need all of that. And you're right, children's credit reports are locked down very tightly because they shouldn't have a credit report. And that's where the freeze law, when it was put in place for children, they're forced to create a report that they immediately lock down because it should be something that's very clean until they're 16, 18 and start taking credit out in their name. So go directly to the source.
Yep.
Okay. And I did, and they, you know, I called them back, and it is a legit communication to me from this monitoring service, but I just didn't know if I should bypass them and go to the bureau myself.
Yeah, I think... Okay. I'd go to you did the right thing from the sound of it, Chris.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You know, one of the things we get at work a lot, our IT person is about once a week sends an email to everybody and says, do not answer this tech support people because it's a big scam. And it's rampant out there, Sandy.
We've talked about this Microsoft tech support scam so often, and it continues to evolve. And just when you think that you know and understand it, it changes a little bit. And that's a pattern that we see a lot with fraud. But some things that we've heard about lately, some people are saying that they're getting calls similar to the tech support scam, but the caller claims to be support for a cable or internet company. And they have detected some kind of problem with your digital cable box or your modem or router. Sometimes the callers now claim to be working on behalf of a government agency to get to the bottom of this tech support scam. And then sometimes you'll get a call from somebody who says, I understand you've been a victim of the tech support scam. I can help you get your money back. Just pay me, you know, $50 or $500 up front. So this is something to be aware of. Just know that this particular scam apparently has been very profitable for scammers, and we must be making some headway in educating people about it because they're shifting their tactics a little bit.
Mm. Tony in Green Bay up next. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for your great show. I recently got an iPhone, and my wife just got an Android phone. And I know that that Apple has this, I think they call it Apple Pay or something like that, that you can use set up on your account. And I'm wondering about the security of that. Presumably, there's a similar system that Android has.
Yeah. Michelle, you want to comment on that?
Well, we're not here to evaluate and rate different systems, but give you all the safeguards behind them. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty difficult. But you can read different, you know, PC Magazine or Mac World or whatever exists out there, and they do evaluations and rate the security behind these systems because they're growing. I think what I would contribute is a system's only secure as its latest update and software update, and is the store who is providing that service making sure they're maintaining their connection to the system and using it that way? Are you securing your device that contains the credit card information, your iWatch, your iPhone, your Android device that has your credit card, and if you lose it, someone's off there using and buying everything they want? So just being aware of the security surrounding your system and the point of entry, the point of purchase, the store that they are updating their system as well, and then go off and read the evaluations by the security gurus with all the tech magazines.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, how does it work with, like, Uber? Do we know how their security is, or...?
No idea. Well, I don't have any idea. Do you guys have any idea?
I don't either.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And if I don't know, I want to find out before I go ahead and use whatever, Uber or anybody else for that matter. More callers online. So we'll take some more calls here. Judy coming up next in Stevens Point. So let's go there. Hi, Judy.
For taking my call. My husband and I had our charge card hacked about a week ago, and we do have the chip on it, but obviously that's not protecting us right now because a lot of places don't have the machine set up for that.
Yeah.
But the question that I have is, if somebody in Florida who has been using my charge information doesn't have an actual card to swipe, if it doesn't have my name signed in the back, if they don't even have a card, how can they charge things on using my card information?
Yeah.
Yeah. We try to avoid giving tips to crooks on how on how to do this. But when you think about it, if you shop online, all you need is the number, the 3-digit security code, and the expiration date. So it's...
A lot of it gets done online.
Yeah. So they probably aren't at a physical location using your card. They're probably buying things online.
There we go.
Well, they charged $250 at Outback in Florida, Outback Restaurant, and $400 and some at TJ Maxx in Florida, in the same area. So, we're in Florida, we're in Wisconsin. So how they did that, we're stumped.
They might have gotten gift cards. Could do that online.
There are means. As Sandy said, we don't like to give out everything, but there are the blank cards. They load the data. They sell the cards. So it could even be not the crook using the card. It could be someone who purchased a black market card. We just talked about other technologies that exist where the information could be used. So
there's a lot of different ways out there, Judy.
I'm starting to find that out right now. Absolutely. And I didn't realize until today listening that they can also get all this medical information. And so now you have to really be vigilant, I guess. And
yeah.
Well, it's a whole different world now. That's all I can say.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Lots of different things going on these days. Donna in Hartford, it's your turn. Hi, Donna. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the great program once again, and to your guests. Just was talking about this very set of guests last night when we were watching Fox 6 Milwaukee. They were doing an investigation into this couple, this husband and wife, that seems to have popped up many times on the radar, and the Better Business Bureau is aware of them and have had several complaints. They offer a variety of services. The one that was being profiled was like a directory. It's called a kids directory that other businesses might want to advertise in. And it's, you know, little pamphlets that are distributed throughout the city.
you know, to get your name out and what it is that you offer. And then also they seem to be offering services to the private citizen to come and clean your home. They were wide and varied. So, but to get to the point is that they've had so many complaints, so many people being scammed, so many people calling and reporting them, not only to the BBB, but their local law enforcement agency, and these people are on the loose, scamming and scamming and scamming and taking money, thousands of dollars at a crack, and not providing, you know, they come in, they might do some work, but it's not what anybody has contracted for.
Mm.
Or, and so I'm just wondering, I mean, what is the climate out there? It just seems that it's like these people are allowed to run amok without any legal recourse. They're not being stopped.
Well, thanks for calling, Donna. And Michelle, do you want to take a crack at that?
Well, I can talk about our process in general. So we receive consumer complaints, and then we look to other sources where they get complaints, media, the Better Business Bureau, the Federal Trade Commission. And based on that information, we do investigate. That can take time. You do need either the Department of Justice or District Attorney to be willing to take a case if you can prove what's happening. So it is really important, this show and others, that consumer file their complaints and share their experiences. And some are better at refunding money than others and keep themselves a little out of the trouble and walk in the gray area. But I know of what you're referring to with the story that ran last night in that. And we work with our partners to work on these prosecutions. And some just repeat themselves. They end up with previous history and then start a new business and repeat themselves again and again. So it's really important that consumers be on the lookout and report what experiences they have.
Over the course of a year, how many are we able to prosecute? How much you guys don't prosecute? You do recover money.
Correct. We, through our mediation process, try and get consumers their money back. And then also when we do refer a case to a district attorney, Department of Justice, through that process, we try and get restitution if it's available as part of a settlement.
Yeah, we just had a case here in Madison. We worked with the Dane County DA. A couple that were traveling around the country taking money for remodeling services and then just moving on without performing any work. So this is, it sounds like a similar case to what she's describing. It can be difficult to track these people down because they're very transient, and it just, but eventually we do catch up to them, and they will be dealt with appropriately through the justice system.
Yeah, at this point, the one Sandy talked about, they're charged, so we're waiting to see sentencing and where this takes them. But they impacted people in Fitchburg, Madison, Beloit, Janesville area, Florida even. And local law enforcement work together, and it's all from one consumer tipping local law enforcement off at that moment in time when they were at the house and were experiencing the fact that they'd paid money and they weren't going to do the work.
No. Donna, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We have open lines. Get you on pretty quickly. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network as we look at consumer scam issues. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We'll turn to Susan in Heartland next. Susan, hi.
Hi. I'm panicking now. I turned on your show late, and I had a couple of weeks ago. I had to go in, for some tests the following day, and all of a sudden everything froze up, and my cell phone was first. And there was a number that came up that said it was MSN, and I'm usually real careful about that. And I did call, and it turns out they're not MSN. They're called Fidelity Serve. Have either one of them heard of that?
What were they asking for?
They were going to unfreeze everything for me.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I'm panicking. And like I said, I'm so careful about that, but my mind was not on what I was doing. And they're listed, and you look in, you know, online, and they are listed as a regular company and everything. But one of your guests have heard of this company as being a valid, or they're crooks.
Yeah.
So what it sounds like, just from the short description, is that it could be one variation of Microsoft, a computer tech support scam where things freeze up and then they call you to try and assist. They can use legitimate company names and be imposters. We see that all the time where they are being imposters. That's why we call it the Microsoft tech support scam, because they're trying to use that name. I would check all your devices, run anything that you have, any virus protection, make sure that your machine is clean, anything to make sure nothing's been loaded if you gave them access. Also, call our hotline, because you can always check out a company to see if we have complaints before you do business with them. That number is 1-800-422-7128. And you can check them out because they say they're based out of California. We can always give you the California Consumer Protection phone number as well, just that you can do a double check on them.
All right.
You know, I've got a malware bytes on there. And that's for malicious software. Should I be having something else? And I put fraud alerts on all my bank accounts.
Oh, great job.
I did anything over 150 because I don't want them to stop at me.
Right. Good work.
Yeah. Well, I used to be a credit manager when I was still working. That's why I'm so upset that I might have gotten taken on this. Like I said, I had to go in for a bunch of tests the next day, and that was just on my mind to get this done before I went. You know,
sure. So. They thrive on distraction and in immediate contact. But run whatever virus protection you have. Some experts, you know, recommend having a couple different kinds of software protection, virus protection, that look for different things, so that way you have those layers of protection on your machines and devices. But keeping them up to date is the most important part in running them.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing I won't keep you reminded. But the other thing is, and this scares me too, I can't get my Bitdefender to be active since the malware bytes is on there, and I thought maybe they were conflicting.
Sometimes, and I'm not sure about these two, but sometimes this is an issue, that they conflict with each other. I was trying to think of another one. There's another big one that often does not like anybody else to have any other company doing the same thing they're doing, and they create problems. I know this from other computer shows that we've done.
Sure.
So it's possible that you've got a conflict there, for sure. And you might want to just look at some other. There are several free systems out there that you can try out, and it might be worth, you know, maybe dropping one of those two and trying another one.
Yeah, we're hearing so often about these pop-up screens or a lock screen, or it may look like the blue screen of death. The FBI recommends now that if you see any of those things happen, just shut down immediately. And we've talked before about restoring back to a previous date, if possible. But in many cases, according to the FBI, just shutting down and waiting for a few minutes takes care of the problem.
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much, Susan, for calling. Appreciate your call. We have Michelle from Seattle, Washington, who emailed to ask, should someone be concerned about applications that require Social Security numbers, like for daycare? I don't know why daycare would want your Social Security number.
Well, daycares usually do some kind of a
background check. Okay.
Yeah, so that actually makes sense. But you certainly have the right to ask them, do you need my Social Security number at this point in the interview process, or could I give it to you if you actually want to offer me the job? And then ask them also how they store that piece of paper with your Social Security number on it. Is it locked? You know, how long are they going to keep it? How will it be destroyed? And you should be cautious anytime you give your Social Security number.
Let's turn to Steve in La Crosse next. Steve, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking my call. I've had a problem putting a freeze on my credit reports. When I tried to do it online, they said they needed verifying identification. I sent that by mail along with my money, and it got rejected by all three. One of the agencies had a phone number where I could call, and I found out they had an old address. Another one said that they didn't have any records of me, which seems impossible. And the third one gave no reason. And I just wondered what would the next step be for the two that I couldn't get a freeze on.
Hmm.
That's where I would file a consumer complaint with us, and we can help communicate and try and figure out why they're not placing the freeze on, why the rejection occurred, because there is the state law that you can place the freeze on. So 1-800-422-7128 if you want a complaint form mailed to you. Otherwise, you can file the complaint online at datcp.wi.gov. And our website will very clearly help you get to the complaint sections.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Well, that's a nice service. You know, to have you guys contacting, I think they probably are going to take some notice.
Hopefully they will. But yeah, there is a state law that says that Wisconsin consumers, if they pay their money and provide all the information, so something must be amiss here that we can help get to the bottom of.
Barbara in Sturgeon Bay up next. Barbara, hi. Thank you for calling. Barbara, are you there? She's there, I think, but she's not hearing me.
Hello?
Hi, Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what's your question?
I'm an older person, and this is not a credit card thing. It's about you have to be careful with people who just come to your door without your knowledge and that. And it was somebody selling burial insurance. I'd never heard of anything, but I thought, I wasn't thinking, and I let him in, and we sat down, and he ended up taking all my personal information, just like you were talking about, your Social Security number, all of that stuff.
Mm.
And I just wasn't, it was later on I realized that I probably shouldn't have done that, and the next day, I did. Oh, they took some funds out of my bank account too. So, I was fortunate that I was able to recover the funds from the bank. They have forms you can fill out, but you just have to be very careful about not letting people in that you know you don't know. And
yeah.
And, of course, about especially giving out your personal information. So
yeah. Well, thank you for that. And should Barbara be doing some follow-up here, Sandy?
Well, it sounds like she already has to a degree. She followed up with her bank. But this is the kind of thing that should be reported to the local authorities because they would want to find this person and make sure that he doesn't victimize other people. Door-to-door sales is a popular marketing tool. There are plenty of honest businesses that go to door-to-door. But the concern is the crooks who pose as burial insurance salesmen or a number of things. One thing you can do, many local jurisdictions require that door-to-door sales crews register and have credentials on them. If your locality is one that does require that, you can ask to see their credentials. But anytime you have a concern about somebody going door-to-door, just call your local authorities, whether police or sheriff, and let them check it out.
Yeah, okay. There we go. All right, thanks a lot for calling, Barbara. And I think we have time for Laura here. Hi, Laura. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm thankful that I happened to be driving and turned on the public radio because you answered a question that came up last night when I answered my house phone. It began right with, not a hello, but it began with, your Microsoft is telling us you have a problem. Please go to it now and then press 1 on the phone. And my mind was slow in processing because I thought, oh, I've just got a brand new laptop. How is it sending information that there's a problem, but because of that lag in there, the phone hung up evidently. So you explained to me evidently that was part of that scam that you're talking about. So that was great, because I had a doubt as to that. And prior to that, I just wanted to say my bank, maybe about 4 or 5 months ago, left me a message from the fraud department. I thought, wow, what is this? Is this a make-believe scam, too? But I called anyways, and it turned out that my credit card, someone in Dubai was trying to charge $7,000. So I quickly got a new credit card with the chip in it. So... and I'm also happy I happen to hear about noodles, so I can share that with my granddaughter, who eats there a lot.
Okay, there
so
you go.
I found your show very beneficial.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, that's kind of what we're trying to do here, isn't it, Sandy?
Yeah, and this tech support scam has become the most pervasive scam out there. That and the IRS, we're going to throw you in jail unless you pay immediately scam.
Mariel from Lone Rock got an email, a very official-looking email from Bank of America about unauthorized activity, and she's never banked with them before. Should she respond? The answer to that is probably two letters, N-O.
N-O is right, Larry. I mean, that goes, we call her earlier as well. Don't click on links and emails, that whole imposter. It's a lookalike. I'm sure there's probably a typo or two in there, and she's never done business with them. So there's a huge indicator.
Talking today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll take a quick break for the news, and then we'll be right back with our guests. You stay with us. Well, some scams are seasonal, and then there are some that are always around. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along as we talk with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection about all those consumer scams. Join in with your own questions, comments, maybe experiences to share. Number's 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Carolyn from Richland Center, I believe, up next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. So, hi, Larry, Michelle, and, oh, I forgot the other name.
Sandy.
Sandy. Thank you for taking my question. My comment. One of the things that I do to protect myself is I never call them back on the number they give me. I always go and look for the official phone number of the organization or my bank and call back. So if I get a message or an email saying that's an issue, I always look for the official phone number on their website and call them back that way. And that way I know I'm calling the actual institution.
Very good piece of advice, isn't it, Sandy?
Yeah, that's great advice. You can either look up their number online, or you can look at a statement or look at the back of your credit card for the contact information. But there are so many fraudulent callers that pose as legitimate businesses. It's a really good idea to do that.
Thanks for that tip.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. And we had other callers online here. Let's take another call at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. And it's amazing the variety of of scams. You know, you sometimes wonder if these people would spend their time on legitimate things. Some of them are pretty smart. They can make a lot of money and not have to worry about all this, Michelle.
They absolutely would do very well in society with legitimate businesses. They're very creative. And we see common themes through all of them. If you're getting an unsolicited telephone call that you didn't seek, that's a tip-off right there, something you weren't looking for. If you're being contacted by a government agency such as the IRS or Microsoft about a signal your computer's giving off, those are are not phone things that would be given by phone. If you're asked to wire money or pay with iTunes gift cards for something to pay a bill, the IRS scam has taken on that new twist where they're asking you to pay with iTunes gift cards. Another big trigger that you need to pay attention to, but we see these common themes regardless of the scam that's being presented to you.
Hadley in Milwaukee has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Hadley. What can we do for you?
I'm wondering, my wife and I found that both our computers have been upgraded to Microsoft Windows 10. Now, neither of our computers were compatible with it. And Microsoft tried something and completely wiped out all my programs. Nonetheless, billing information and the credit card in order for them to continue to try to correct the mistake.
Microsoft has been automatically updating people's computers, whether they want it or not, but this could also be a scam in and of itself, couldn't it, Sandy?
It could be. I think that's why the scammers are using the pop-ups, posing as Microsoft, because a lot of us are used to seeing the Windows 10 upgrade pop-up, so yeah. It kind of, we make a connection in our minds. It's difficult to tell, given this situation, whether his PC is infected with some kind of virus, or whether it was actually the Windows 10 upgrade. Yeah.
Would you file a complaint on something like that, Sandy?
Well, he could, but I'm wondering whether a more appropriate response may be to follow up with Microsoft on their chat or help area on their website, or consult with some kind of computer geek type company and try to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, and you're breaking up, Hadley. I'm sorry we were having trouble hearing you, so I can't get you back on, but I appreciate your call, and I hope you were able to hear that advice from Sandy. Max in Milwaukee up next. Max, hi, thanks for calling.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, my name is Max Bodenbach out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Whenever I make a call about something financial, they always want the last four numbers of my Social Security card. Now, can that be used by these hackers to get at my account?
Mm.
The fraudsters are very good at piecing together information from multiple sources. But what I think I heard Max say is when he makes a call to a financial institution, they're asking for the four digits. And they want to verify that who's calling is the person who should be accessing these accounts. So that's pretty common of a question. If you're calling a financial institution, credit card company, that they want the last four as verification. But if you are getting a call randomly asking for this and people are posing to be a financial institution, don't give out that information. That goes to the previous caller who said, I only call using numbers and phone numbers that I found, you know, my credit card on the back of the credit card, my phone bill, using those numbers. So being careful which way the call is being received and that you're following through accordingly.
All right. Thanks, Max, for calling. Appreciate your call very much. More callers online. Let's turn to Jeff in Cross Plains next here, if I can get Jeff on. Jeff, hi. Thanks for calling. Jeff, are you there? I guess we lost Jeff. Well, you can join in again, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Again, you can email us at talk@wpr.org, and we're happy to take your questions here. What kind of information should you never put online? I guess Social Security number.
I wouldn't put my driver's license number out there because that's another valuable piece of information. your full date of birth. People can find it, but there's no reason why you should just be offering up the entire full date of birth. That's important information not to leave out there. Credit card numbers. People can track other things, but don't give out your passwords, your PIN numbers, that personally identifiable information that only you should know shouldn't be posted, even on what you think is the most secure social media site, and you're just sharing with just your family. That shouldn't be out there because others can use that and pass it along through their privacy.
Yeah, and another thing to think about are the common security questions that are used as you're setting up your accounts. Mm-hmm. Avoid posting your mother's maiden name or your place of birth, pet names, favorite pet, that type of thing, the color of your first car. Those are very easy things for hackers or thieves to track down and find the information.
Yeah, so there's, boy, it's hard. I've had a question, somebody asked me about, well, what about these, I've got so many passwords and so forth that I'm thinking about, how do I keep track of them and make sure that somebody doesn't steal them from me?
There are password tracking apps available. That's one way to do it. But it is really important that you have a unique password for every account, because if somebody is able to get your email password, they're going to be able to hack into every account you have, because if there's a password reset, typically you get an email notifying you of, here's the link that you go into to reset your password. More and more companies and services now are offering multi-factor authentication. For example, if you have a Gmail account with a password and try to reset it, they'll also send a code to your mobile phone, or you'll get a call with that code to verify that you are who you say you are and you are authorized to reset the password. So if you have that option, by all means, use it.
Let's go to John in Bayfield County next. John, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I've put both of my, I've signed up with both state and federal no-call list on my landline here, and I was under the impression I only have to do that once. Is that correct?
That is correct. When you register with the federal do not call list, you'll be included with the state information.
And what I've been getting for the last 2 weeks now, from 1 to 3 times a day, is a message that says, I have caller ID, and it says, incoming baby, and the number is 515-305-2987.
Hmm.
And I have not picked up on this, but this is driving me to distraction.
Yeah. I've been getting a lot of calls, too. Michelle?
Well, the do not call lists at the federal and state level are there to regulate businesses that solicit by telephone. What we are experiencing with these IRS and Microsoft tech support scams are not individuals soliciting true business. These are scam artists, run amok, trying to steal from individuals and obtain information and money for services not provided and not even real services. So they're committing crimes of a different nature. And Sandy mentioned that the Federal Trade Commissioner had just filed their 39th case against the Robo Rachel type callers, the credit card service type callers. They are breaking these down slowly but surely. We're getting after them with our federal partners, but many are international rings using auto dialers and different technologies. So the best thing is what you're doing. Do not answer. Do not engage. If you do answer, hang up. Don't hit any of the buttons, because then you're just triggering that you're a live body and your number will likely be resold to someone else and put on a lead list as a potential. So the calls would increase. Just ignoring that part of the phone.
Thanks, John, for calling. Let's go to Alan in Nakusa next. Alan, hello to you.
Good morning.
Hi. What can we do for you?
Well, I just went through this scam-type thing last Friday night. I was trying to upload a Chrome version on my Windows, and all of a sudden I had a lot of malware, garbage, whatever, and I couldn't do a thing with my computer. There was a phone number that popped up, and it said it was Microsoft. I called it, talked to the guy. He said he was Microsoft Solutions and that he could take care of this problem. Unfortunately, they wanted me to go to PayPal and give them $200.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't working. So they kept going and kept going, and I wound up going up to Walmart Saturday morning and got two $100 iTunes cards to send them or to give them the code numbers so they could get that $200. But it took about 4 hours, supposedly, they had my computer fixed, okay, so I could continue to use it because I was right in the middle of trying to do some work.
So I'm unfortunately, that sounds like one of the scams, doesn't it, Sandy?
Yeah, unfortunately, it sounds just like what we've been hearing lately, where they're asking you to load an iTunes card. What we would recommend at this point is that you run a very good software security program to get rid of any malware that may be on your computer. And then,
depending upon the information that's stored on your computer, because they likely had access and were able to get at things, put that security freeze on as quickly as you can, because they could have your social security number if you do your taxes. Contact your financial institutions, monitor those, and put as much security on that information. Contact your credit card companies. It all depends on what you all did with your computer and what's stored on it. Making sure that you're changing all your passwords in case they loaded a keylogger and you've been on it since. So any sites that you visit, putting the new passwords in place and changing all of that up.
And how do you change it up if you know that they're there and can...
I'd be using a different computer until yours is restored. So if you have a friend, if you have a different device that you can use, because your computer is potentially at risk right now.
Okay. And so you can use another computer. It's within your computer. It's not within another computer. It's not up in the cloud.
It's likely not in the cloud. It could be contained because they wanted access to your computer to be able to, yes, there's the keylogger or the malware that's there, but you don't know what's there at this point in time, so you need to do as much troubleshooting. So you can use the phone with your financial institutions. You can use the phone with the credit reporting agencies to put the security freezes on and do it the paper process way. Changing email accounts and that kind of thing, yeah, you'd need a computer for that, so using a different device that way.
All right. Good luck.
This is just so incredibly ubiquitous. You know, it's difficult to imagine how many millions of these calls are going out on a monthly basis. But we've had a couple of callers now today that were not able to recognize this as a scam, and they felt the urge to act quickly.
Yeah.
And these crooks count on that, you know. So the more that people can share about this particular scam, the better. And talk to your friends and neighbors about it, because it is so incredibly pervasive.
If one of those comes up, now you were talking about this earlier, shutting your computer off. If Alan or anybody else would, if that had popped up, if he'd shut his computer down right away?
Right. According to the FBI, that's the best course to take. And we had the earlier caller who was concerned about some medical tests, and so she just wanted to get this taken care of. And the crooks are counting on that kind of reaction.
So the good advice of turn that computer off right away, let it sit a minute or two, and then just turn it back on again.
Right. Right. Okay. And load that different version, not the same day's version, a different version of the software. I think another important piece that we maybe haven't talked about today is the Federal Trade Commission did issue a rule last year that's now in effect. That is a big signal to people. It is illegal for telemarketers to ask for payment by cash-to-cash money transfers, so things like a MoneyGram and a Western Union, that wiring money, or for PIN numbers from cash-reloaded cards like MoneyPack or Vanilla Reload. So that is one of those huge signals to consumers. It's illegal to do this. So if you're thinking about it, why would you engage with a company that's conducting themselves illegally? They can't ask for money in this form of payment. So that whole iTunes. We've been talking about different signals with the imposters, the IRS scam, the Microsoft, but now even telemarketers, legitimate or illegitimate, they shouldn't be asking for money in these ways. And that's a big signal to consumers to remember that's an illegal activity. So make them be honest.
All right. There we go. Thanks so much. Paul and Banger, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. I have a comment and a question. And the comment refers back a few callers that had trouble with the Windows 10 downloading. And Larry, you mentioned how they were doing it automatically. I have been using something that you can get free online. It's called GWX Control Panel. And you can shut all that Windows 10 stuff off, the icon, the automatic upgrades, the download files, all of that. And I've had excellent luck with that for about 3 months now. Oh. And my question is, I also had do not call list people. I'm on a do not call list, but people do call from out of area. And I'm wondering if there is a number... call, as long as their number shows up on your caller ID, can you turn them in anywhere, and does that do any good?
Yeah, it really helps us to have that information from you. If you go to our website, datcp.wi.gov, and look for the file a complaint link, you'll see something called Fast Track, and you can report to us any information at all that you may have gleaned from a what you suspect would be a fraudulent telemarketing call, whether it's the number on the caller ID, what they were pitching. Any information at all helps us connect the dots, and we feed it to the Federal Trade Commission, and they're our federal partner that most likely will take action against these fraudulent telemarketers.
I think we have your site up on our Facebook page if people don't have it now, but run that by us again, DATCP.
It's datcp.wi.gov.
Mm-hmm. And the 800 number is 1-800-422-7128.
Right, and that's staffed during regular office hours. If you call during the evening, we'll get back to you the next day.
So that's 1-800-422-7128. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you two stop by, and you're back on August 4th is what I have on my calendar. So thanks again, Sandy and Michelle, for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Dale from Eau Claire called, and when somebody uses the line, calls him, he says, "Hi, I'm from the Larry. You've reached the Larry Mueller Show," and they hang up right away. I don't even know if you should answer that, but anyway, that's a fun way to do it. Thanks, Dale, for that. And thank you so much for listening. And stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.